Right beside the craft cocktail explosion is the rebirth of the cocktail's essential sidekick, a new world of craft bitters. These little bottles bring the exclamation point to drinks. Some nip, some purr, some sweeten, and the varieties keep coming. Mark Bitterman, who has the Meadow Shops in Portland, Oregon and New York City, does in-depth studies on singular foods. Salt and chocolate are on his backlist. Now he's written Bitterman's Field Guide to Bitters and Amari. Melissa Clark got the story.
Hi, Mark. Thanks so much for talking with us.
Well, thank you for having me, Melissa.
It used to be that there was one or two kinds of bitters in the supermarket, and now there's an explosion. What's with the bitters? Why are there so many available?
I think it's really an offshoot of the craft cocktail movement. I think probably the most vibrant thing happening in food today in America is cocktails, really. And bitters are a reflection of that. They're kind of the salt, if you will, of a cocktail. So as cocktails have become more important, bitters have come back to the fore.
So what exactly are bitters?
They're an alcohol-based flavor extract. So you take any kind of botanical, it could be anything from roots to barks to berries to leaves to stems, and you macerate them in alcohol. You basically soak them in alcohol, and that pulls a bunch of the aromatic qualities of those botanicals out. And then you add some form of bittering agent. It could be gentian or wormwood is one that people have heard of, and you give it kind of a bitter core to its flavor. And that's all a bitter is. It's an alcohol-based flavor extract with a bitter foundation of flavor.
But Mark, bitters aren't just bitter. They have other flavors.
Absolutely. And actually, I'm just flipping through the book right here because I created sort of a taxonomy of the different types of flavors that there are. The most common is aromatic, which is sort of a complex bouquet of a lot of spicy kind of baking spice flavors. There's also citrus. Fruit is another option. So you just imagine anything from pear to cherry. Another is spice, so something that might have kind of a really, really intense nutmeg or clove or cinnamon. There's spicy bitters, which have a lot of piquancy, a lot of capsaicin buzz, just like chili peppers. Then you've got herbal floral bitters. And the last would be nut, which I would include maybe chocolate and coffee, walnut, almond, things like that.
Wow, that's quite a range. Now, you call your book A Field Guide to Bitters and Amari. What's the difference between a bitter and amaro?
So, yeah, amari is just the word amaro in plural. So bitters and amari are effectively the same thing. The difference is that bitters are designed to be put into drinks by the drop, and amari are designed to be drunk straight up or used as a mixer. So amari are basically more potable or more drinkable bitters. But historically, they were the same thing.
So an example of bitters would be Angostura. And what's an example of an Amaro? Is Campari an Amaro?
Absolutely. Campari is an Amaro. Another really well-known one might be Fernet.
Ah, yes.
There are many, many, many hundreds of them all around the world. But those are probably two of the best-known ones.
So I was reading in your book that at one point there were no bitters. There was just Amari. And then bitters kind of evolved from Amari. Can you tell us that story?
So historically, they're really the same thing. Amaro is just the Italian word for bitters. And in America, we had many, many, many kinds of bitters, which were just these drinkable, basically medicines. You take all these botanicals that had all these medicinal properties, and people would make the bitters out of it and then drink it as medicine. And that evolved to the point where there were thousands of these crazy patent medicines all over America. And eventually what happened was the U.S. government kind of said, hey, we've had it. We're going to have to establish some standards. And they passed the Safe Food and Drugs Act of 1906 and effectively said that you have to now list all the ingredients that are in bitters and you have to make claims about what they can do that are legit. And almost overnight, all the bitters makers went away. With Prohibition, some years later, things got even worse. The government said that now anything that's an alcoholic beverage is not allowed. And so all the bitters makers that had managed to survive the Act of 1906 then pretty much went belly up. One or two exceptions did make it, and the most known of them is Angostura. And they survived really because they're incredibly litigious, hard-fighting, hard-hitting company that just wouldn't say no. And they actually convinced the government that it couldn't be drunk. It was just useful as a flavoring. and maybe even for medicinal reasons. And so they were able to survive.
Now, most people think bitters go in cocktails, but you also use them in cooking.
Yeah, I think, you know, I like to take shortcuts when I cook. I've got two kids and I run a business, and I don't want to always make everything as complicated as possible. So I actually use bitters as a way to add flavor complexity into dishes that might otherwise lack it. So I might just put a dash or two in a sauce. I'll put a grapefruit bitters, for example, maybe in a salad dressing. I'll put a fruitier bitters in a dessert like whipped cream or you name it. So it's actually a wonderful way to add a little bit of complexity, some kind of unusual different flavors. And sometimes it's fun to have this little unexpected note of bitterness. So just like you eat radicchio, adding bitterness to your salad dressing adds a little bit of extra bitterness to it. It's delicious.
If you were going to direct me to just buying a couple of bitters, what are the indispensable ones? What do I need to own?
That's always hard. And I'm always supposed to be prepared for that question because people ask me that every day. It's hard because, yeah, they are all of my children and I love them and I can't see life without 50. but I think that you could pare it down to three. Probably my favorite, most versatile bitters is an aromatic bitters. So there are several families of bitters, aromatic and citrus and floral. And having an aromatic bitters, Angostura is an example of aromatic bitters. But Angostura, I find, has really strong, pronounced flavors of clove and cinnamon, and it's really a dominant note in drinks very quickly. And so I personally prefer an aromatic bitters called Boker's. It's clean and bright and kind of more of like a sharp, more well-defined aromatic bitters than Angostura. Both are fantastic, but that's my favorite. So I recommend a Boker's bitters to everybody because you can make all your old fashions and your Manhattans and even add some to your Negroni. And you've got to have a citrus bitters. So that you can pick your poison, if you will. The most well-known variety out there is Gary Regan's. It's called Regan's Orange Bitters. And that's an awesome product. And it's not very expensive either. But any orange bitters that you can get your hands on, I would buy that. And the good news is that most makers do a good job with the orange bitters.
And then something floral, perhaps?
You read my mind. So absolutely. I love to bring a floral dimension into cocktails. One of the things I think is very difficult to get away with in food is lavender, but in a cocktail, you can actually pull it off. So I use a lavender bitters as a sneaky little note in some cocktails, not even announcing that it's there. And in other cocktails, I make it actually more of a centerpiece. So I'd recommend a lavender or other floral bitters.
Mark, this is fascinating. Thank you so much for talking with us.
It's my pleasure. It's been a blast.
Mark Bitterman is author of Bitterman's Field Guide to Bitters and Amari. Melissa Clark is author of Cook This Now. Now, Mark left us with two recipes to get us started, one for bitter buttered popcorn and a tangerine fennel salad with bitter celery vinaigrette. They sound delicious. You can find them at splendidtable.org.